Thank you, Father. Lord, we worship you. We worship you and we thank you for your love. Perfect love cast out all fear. God's perfect love. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence that is here, Lord. And whatever anyone is dealing with right now, Lord, I thank you that your love will become a greater revelation to them tonight. A greater revelation, Lord. That fear has no place in perfect love. When we have a revelation and an understanding, Satan has no place. So, Lord, we receive your love tonight. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, that was your love plan. Jesus was your love plan for us, to reconcile us, to save us, to set us free. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And you know what? He loves us through each other. So I know this is awkward, but I want you to look at somebody and tell them that God loves them and that you love them. Amen? And then y'all can be seated. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be awkward, but amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you how I know love shuts down the devil. I have just a quick story before we get started, but I was bullied in high school. In ninth grade, I was bullied. And I had become a Christian as a little girl, so I knew the word. I'd go to church, but I was bullied. I mean, almost every day of my ninth grade year, I'd have these girls follow me and push me around and call me names, and it was just ugly. They were just bullies. And so what I would say to them was, "I love you, and Jesus loves you." That's what I would tell them, and they would get so mad. And leave me alone, and they would take off, you know. But they wouldn't stop. They would get somebody else to do it, and I would tell them the same thing. Jesus loves you. I love you. And they'd be, like, looking at me like, "We want to fight." And I'm like, "I'm not going to fight you. I'm not fighting you." And there was this one girl. My sister knows her. Where's Amy? Amy, Judy Adame. Oh, she was mean. How do we remember stuff like that? Like, I know her name. Look her up on Facebook. No, I'm kidding. They were just mean. But don't you know, like later on, like once I was out of high school, something happened and she called me or she messaged me somehow. But anyway, she wanted to get saved, or she had gotten saved. But when you love like God loves, you shut the devil down. You shut the devil down. You do. You know, I could have easily just thought of myself and thought, you know, I could find somebody to beat her up, because I couldn't beat her up. There was no way I could beat her up. But you shut the devil down. Amen? Okay, so tonight we are talking about, it's about the heart. That's the name of the title. It's about the heart. And we're going to go into the book of Hebrews. I told Justin, I said, I could just read the whole book of Hebrews to them, and 1 Corinthians and 1 and 2 Timothy, and then we're good. Whenever I went to Bible college at Southwestern Bible College, it's now a university, I did volleyball. I am sporty. I did volleyball because I had to. You know, you have to do something. And we had to memorize the whole book of Hebrews for volleyball. Yeah. I know. And I played volleyball in a skirt. and warm-ups underneath. That's how old I am. Ay, ay, ay. They wouldn't even let us wear shorts. But anyway, I did memorize the book of Hebrews, but I don't remember it. But so I love the book of Hebrews. And it is, I've been preparing and praying about tonight. And, you know, it's about warnings, okay? The book of Hebrews. And it's about Jesus, our high priest. Not like a regular high priest that goes and does all these things and gets all bloody and, you know, and then doesn't really atone for their sins and has to do it again. But it says that Jesus is our high priest and he knows us. I mean, yes, I love that. And he, one sacrifice, and it covered us all. So I'm like, yes, that's good. I love Hebrews. No one knows who the author of Hebrews is, but apparently he must have been Jewish because he knew all those customs of those things that they had to do. But what I like about Hebrews is their warnings. How many of y'all like warnings? Yes. If you don't correct, you know, like the whenever you say where you're going, she'll say to you, rerouting, you know, correct, basically, go a different way. Like if there's an accident up ahead, it'll tell you. And if you don't follow the warnings, you could end up in a crash. And that's happened to me. But how many of y'all ignore the warning signs on your car? Like when the check engine light comes on. Yeah, don't look up. I know. Oh, why warning? You cover it. You're like, I didn't see that. Well, I have ignored car warnings and in high school. And I burned the engine in my dad's car. Yeah, because it kept saying it was hot, and I wasn't sure what that meant. I'm like, okay, put water in it. I learned, you know, when the oil, it needs oil and gas, but when it just keeps saying it's hot. Anyway, I drove it like that, and I burned the engine. So warnings are important. And so that's what the book of Hebrews is talking about. It's saying, it's talking about the children of Israel who did not heed what God was wanting to tell them, right? It says they harden their hearts. They harden their hearts to where they could no longer hear God. They harden their hearts. Now, I know and you know that life happens to people, correct? Circumstances, situations. And sometimes it'll cause us to harden our hearts because we try to, or we don't think God answered quick enough, or there was a disappointment. Or there's a sickness or there's a death sometimes. Those things will discourage us and we wonder, what is God doing? The God that I thought was this way is now not that way, I don't think. So we start doing this, using our minds to figure out circumstances and situations. And what happens is we lose focus. You know, I was praying this morning and I heard him say, and we've heard Dr. Savelle and I believe pastors also talked about it. Whenever we're under stress or we have uncertain situations, there's one thing you can be certain about is that there's going to be uncertain and stressful situations come. It's just going to happen. Bad grades, failings, crashes, deaths, just you name it. Life is going to happen. But when we try to figure it out in our own thinking, I heard God say this morning, he said, that's toiling. So tonight, he wants us to throw the net on the other side of the boat, okay? Because one of the things about a hardened heart is that it happens very subtly, you know? It does, it happens very subtly. And it doesn't mean like your whole heart is hardened, but you're hardened too about those issues. Because I'm just not gonna deal with those issues because I already know. You know, those people were hurtful. And yes, I've forgiven. We say that, but I don't know if we really mean it. I think it's to a degree. Because I really believe that. And it's okay because some of us are still growing. And this is the year of progressing and advancing. Amen? And that means growing into his likeness. So there's still a little bit of us that we got to get out. Amen? There is. And so tonight is about allowing God to soften our hearts again so that we can respond to him. Maybe think about a situation differently. You know, because a situation that you don't give to him is one that you're holding on to yourself, right? You're trying to figure it out. That's called toiling. It's just toiling. It's work. And it says that they did not, there were so many of them. We were talking about that earlier. Like 80% of them did not enter into the promised land. And what it talks about is rest. It says they didn't enter into rest. Well, what is the opposite of rest? I know. Unrest. What is the opposite of rest? It's stress. It is. Faith rests. Faith rests. When we believe him, it says they hardened their hearts. They would not even listen. They wouldn't take heed. They wouldn't obey because they didn't trust him. So trust is rest. Trust is rest. Amen. And he wants us to enter into that rest. Here's something that a hardened heart will do. It opens the door to the enemy. To the enemy. It opens the door to the enemy. Should be coming. The enemy should be coming. To steal. And that's what I'm sorry. Am I beating it up? I have a necklace. It's my heart necklace. It's staying. Okay. The enemy will, I could have had a bajillion boxes, but when we deal with situations on our own, and this is how you'll know, this is a characteristic of a hardened heart is no joy, right? Yeah. Somehow he's taken your joy. Oh, there he is. What a pretty robber, thief. So he takes your joy. And if he takes your joy, he's taking God's best from you. And a lot of us, we're like, I'm okay without joy. That's fine. Second best. Does God really want second best for us? No, he wants the best. But we're like, we're not willing to let go of this one situation that's stealing our joy, right? And then there's our peace. Oh, girl, if you lose your peace, that's a mess. That's unrest right there. That is total unrest. You can't sleep. You're taking Tylenol PM. You're taking Benadryl. You're like, you know, your melatonin gummies. And because it's like, I have no peace. I'm trying to figure it out. So, all right, just give it up. There he goes. He's taking that one, or she's taking that one. She's so pretty. She's a pretty robber. He'll take your finances. He will take your finances. You know, I didn't get that raise. I lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to give anymore. And the minute we do that, the minute we try to figure out things, we've relinquished and we've opened the door. We've given the enemy a foothold, and now he's got control. Or if you're angry, you're angry about that report. You're angry that the medicine that you're taking isn't working. You're angry. You're angry about your health because God's not answering prayer as fast as you would like him to. How many of y'all know anger opens the door to the enemy? So, you know, David says in Psalms 139, he says, search me. And this is what tonight is about. Search me, oh God. Check my heart. Because you know what? We do really well at living second best. We're not living God's best, but we look like we're living God's best. We can fake it. You know, we're good at that. But the Bible says that God knows our heart. And David prayed that. He said, search me. Search my heart and see if there's anything in there that's displeasing to you. That's not right. And then show me the way. Show me the way of everlasting is what he says. And I'm going to read some scriptures in Hebrews. Okay, she's taking them. All right. Thank you. Give her a hand. Woo-hoo! In Hebrews 3, verse 1, he's talking to us. He says, so then, brethren. And when he's saying brethren, it's more than one. And he's saying, consecrated, set apart, brethren. So it's a team, it's a staff, it's a church, it's a people. And he says, who share in the heavenly calling. We have a heavenly calling. Amen. Let's go to verse 12. Here's the warning. He says, beware, brethren, take care lest there be any one of you, a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. So he's telling us that we have to be aware of not just ourselves, but who else? Each other. I know. It's like, really? That's what it says. And then it says in verse 13, it says, but instead warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion. I'm reading out of the Amplified, by the deceitfulness of sin, okay, by the fraudulence. That means a lot of times we think, oh, you know, God gave me a mind, so I need to try to take care of this. And we don't see that we really are not giving it to God. If you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, then those are good indicators that something's not right, okay? We run to God, amen? We go to the Word, hallelujah. It says they heard what they were supposed to do, but they didn't mix their faith with it. Belief. They did not believe. They did not trust. We have the Word of God. We have such great teachings. Oh my goodness. We have no excuse to not know what we're supposed to be doing next. If you're wondering, how am I supposed to handle this? What would love do? Just ask yourself that question. What would love do? What would love do? Because that's what would God do. Amen? And he says to encourage one another. I'm going to skip because I need y'all to see this before time runs out. Hebrews 10. Turn to Hebrews 10. Verse 23. It says, so let us seize, that means take, and hold fast, and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable. He is sure and he is faithful to his word. Okay? So we need to hold fast to the word of God. But look at verse 24. It says, and let us provoke, okay, I wrote provoke on there, but let us and give attention, continuous care to watching over one another. It really does say that. Every day, we're supposed to be out taking care of one another. Study how we may stir up, another word for stir up is stimulate and incite. Over on the side, I put prod, provoke. How many of y'all ever ridden a horse? How do you get them to move? There's a stirrup, right? There's something that you got to poke them. You got to poke them to get them going, right? All right, so tase them. I want to tase them. Tase each other. Okay, we're going to walk around with tasers. But it says stir up, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. So we're to soften each other. We're supposed to tend to one another. Do you know that? We're called to tend to one another, be aware of one another. And I love what he says next. He says, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another. All the more since you see the day approaching. I told Justin, because I was reading in 1 Timothy, about what's it going to be like in the last days. How many of y'all know we're there? We are there. It says that in the last days, they will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They'll call good bad and bad good. Are we in those days? Okay, so there's an urgency here. So basically, it's interesting to me. The devil is subtle. I wrote down here, be aware of what you're facing when hit with hate or opportunities to lash out or lash back, even to argue or defend God. Because some of y'all think, well, it's a, you know, I'm just trying to tell them that they're wrong and that God is love. God is love. Does that sound like God is love? Okay, so you know what? God does not need us to defend him. Let love speak. Can y'all say that? Let love speak.
Let love speak.
Let love speak. So we've got to keep our hearts softened. We're in the days where he needs us to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit. When he says, call that person, you need to call that person. Do you realize that the time from you, when you hear what you're supposed to be doing, to the time that you actually do it, you know what you've done? You have given the devil a foothold. Where'd she go? Is she here? Did she already come out? You've given the devil a foothold. You've opened the door for him. When you wait. Oh, you're over there. When you wait, you give him a foothold. You give him, and you can say, well, I have every right to be angry. Yeah, you're right. You probably do. You have a right to be angry. Go ahead, sue him. Do whatever you want to do. Just because you have a right to doesn't mean that you should. Because I'm going to tell you what we should be doing is the word of God. And the word says, stir each other up unto good works. Stir each other up to love. Stir each other up. How many of y'all have ever made gravy? How many of y'all made gravy? Yeah. Gravy, flour, and water. What happens when we don't stir our gravy? Oh my gosh, it is lumpy. You could, like, I mean, you have a brick. So that's what happens to our hearts. This water is like our hearts. And let's say we get, you know, I know the word. It's in there. That's the word. There it is. It's right there. So what's it doing? It's just sitting there. And if I let it sit longer, it's going to get hard. Yeah. So when, and I know, I did, there was the solvent and the, anyway, you stir it. When you stir it, whatever you put in there gets incorporated. It becomes a part of it all. Have y'all ever done a custard or a pudding? What does it say? Stir continually, constantly, without stopping. It's like, oh my goodness. And that's what God is telling us that we need to do. We need to stir each other up, encourage one another, admonish one another, tell them, look, I see this is, what's up? You don't look joyful. Is there something I can pray with you about? When you pray for someone, here, I looked up what stir means, and in the Bible, stir doesn't mean just actually doing this. I'm going to stir you. Come over here. I'm going to stir you. But stirring is getting in there with them, stirring together. And do you know when you stir someone up, guess what happens? You get stirred. You get stirred. When you remind them about what God's word says and how good he is and about what he's done in their life, because that's what stirring is remembering also, remembering what God has done in their life. And don't you know that when you're stirring somebody else up, you start remembering what God's done in your life.
Amen.
And that's what Timothy says. He says, you know, your grandma and your mom taught you some things, but you gotta stir that up. That it's settled down at the bottom. It's down, you know, like milk and cream, you got to shake it to get all that goodness all the way through. Stirring means, let me find my definitions. Stirring the Bible means to change the place of in any manner, to move, to disturb. Some people need to be disturbed. Your thinking is stinking. Okay? And we do it in love, you guys. But there's an urgency. I want you all to hear that there is an urgency. There is an urgency. I thank God for people in my life that God has put in my life that's like inviting me, that would invite me, come to church, come to church, come to church. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all have heard this story, but and there's high school kids in here. I had a high school friend. Every time I'd see her, I would tell her about Jesus and I would invite her to church. People said that I belonged to a cult and that I was brainwashed. So a lot of people stayed away from me and go the other way. But I kept telling her about Jesus, and she would say, no, she's not coming. She was Jehovah's Witness or something like that. And she said, I'm not going. And I worked at a department store, and next door was a Baskin Robbins. And I was 17 or 16 years old, and I was working two jobs. I was saving money for a car. I was saving money to go to college. And this time, this Saturday, I was at Anthony's. Does anybody remember Anthony's? It's like a Bell's. And I saw her come in. And I knew I was supposed to go tell her again about Jesus. I knew I was. I had some stirring to do. But I didn't want to hear it anymore. And so I didn't. And I walked away. She saw me walk away. And she walked away. The next day, or I think it was even Monday. I believe it was Monday. She'd already dropped out of school. So she wasn't going to school. But when I came home from school, my mom said, Yvette was killed this weekend. She said she had gone to a bar and somebody that was on drugs shot her and pretty much blew her head off. And I just remember being so hurt and so broken over that. I cried. Her name was Yvette, and I got in the shower so I could cry louder, and I thought, God, I don't want to miss it again. I don't want to miss it again. If God put someone on your heart, I am begging you, please call them. Please text them. Even if they look like everything is okay, they come to church, you see them, whatever. Keep your heart soft and listen to the Holy Ghost. We have so many ways of communicating in this day and age. You know, you don't have to go to their house. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you to go to their house, then go to their house. And if they won't open the door, then you get a foothold. You stick your foot in there. You know, I know people that other people have done that for, and it has saved them. You never know what they're really going through, you know? And so God needs us whole. He needs us free. He needs us to believe, to trust him, to be at rest so that we can grab others and bring them to that place. Amen? Amen. Because it says when you believe, when you mix what God is saying with faith, you've got to trust him. Otherwise, you're never going to rest. You're always going to second guess. Did God really say that? Does he really love me? Does he want the best for me? What's the answer to that? Yes. Yes. Every time. Yes. Yes. Run to him. Run to him. I'm not trying to downplay situations because we all go through things. But the answer is always going to be in the Word. Amen. I promise you, the answer is always going to be in the Word. It's always going to be in the Word. Yeah. He will speak to you through his Word. He will speak to you at church. Run to him. Keep going to him. Keep coming to church. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up by praying for others. The Bible says that when you're sick and you pray for someone else is that sick, guess what? You're healed. That's what it says. It says that. And when we respond in love, we open the door for God to work in their life and in your life. Because the Bible says to what? Pray for your enemies. oh my gosh, we've talked about this before. He's like, no, he says, pray for your enemies, those that hate you, despise you, talk about you, pray for them. Why do you pray for them? It changes your heart. So, because your heart needs to get changed. You know, I remember that book, the Praying Wife. You know, it's like, oh, God, change them. They're horrible. Change them. They're so bad. And the more you prayed, the more you realized God was changing you. And then you, yeah. Isn't that amazing? So in stirring others, we do stir ourselves. Amen. We do. So it is imperative that we stir. It's a matter of our hearts to not become hardened or to give the enemy a strong hold, right? Hebrews 10:24 through 25, in the King James, it says, and let us consider, that means think about, be moved, obey, do something about it, consider, not just like, okay, I thought about them. But it says, let us consider one another to provoke, to stir each other up. Don't get a taser because I told you to get a taser and tase them. I don't know. If it's your kids, I'm going to give you permission. Just tase them. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But it says provoke, stir each other up. Remind them what God has done. Amen. Remind them what he wants to do through them. You know, because a lot of people think God can't use me. But, you know, it just takes the simplest thing, just one small thing, just to encourage somebody else. And God's using you. Amen. It doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that. Amen? Amen. But it says, consider one another to provoke, to stir each other up unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together again. It says that. But I want y'all to know that people watch when you come to church, and I know someone else's faithfulness encourages me. Doesn't it? Doesn't it encourage you when you see someone faithful that comes and is coming, and you wonder, they must not be going through anything. Does life just not happen to them? What do you think? Do you really think that nothing is happening and going on in their life? No. They're stirring themselves up. Amen. And they don't realize that by their faithfulness, by their coming together and assembling, because you can assemble but not be together. That so coming with the intent to be a blessing to someone. You know, Pastor Carla, one of the things of their hardened hearts was they refused to hear. They wouldn't hear. And it says, those who have ears hear. She said, when you hear, it's always with the intent to obey, to do. That's how it is in Kenya. When they use that word hear, hear me. Did you hear what I said? Because a lot of times we'll go to our parents, yeah, I heard you, but then we don't do it. So then did we really hear? No. Hear me. Hear me. Do what I said. And it says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, that it means strongly urging someone, persuading them. Now, we can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit. You can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need to say to that person. And we've all heard the story of Dr. Savelle when he went to that meeting and how Kenneth Copeland, in the middle of his sermon, he didn't even know who he was. And he said in the middle of it, in 1967, I had a hit record, yada, yada, yada. And that caught his attention, you know? So you never know. You just never know. A text message, a smiley face, a calling, a letter, a note, you know, a handshake, a hug. You never know what that person is needing. I know you all have stories where God's used you in those ways. But so we are to incite to action, to agitate, to trouble, to prompt, to excite, to arouse, to awaken. Awaken. I love that. Awaken. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about awaken. And it also talks about that in the last days that we'll, because we'll be lovers of self, we want to not be bothered. We don't want to be agitated. We don't want to be disturbed. Yeah. We had one rule when we were in college. If you're upset, if you're angry, if you're hurt, you better get off campus, because if you're in this dorm hall, somebody is going to provoke you unto love. Someone is going to love on you, you know? And we'd recognize when somebody was missing. We'd be like, something must be going on with them. So we would ask them. We could be nosy rosies with each other. God's giving us permission. God's giving us permission. Let me just pray with you. Can I pray with you about something? How easy is that? That's so easy. And then do it. And then do it. Amen? Amen. So we stir up the gift of God on the inside. 2 Timothy 1:5-6, he says, call to remembrance. I've been called to remembrance about your genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother. And he says in verse 6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up that gift which is in you. Fan into flames. Fan into flames. I love that. Here's the thing. We are not of those that draw back. I want to read verse in Hebrews 10:39. I want y'all to look at that. It says, but our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery. When you're not running towards God, you're drawing back and you're in misery. I mean, you may not admit it right now, because I've been there. I've lived God's second best, you know, and we justify it. Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so. At least I'm still going to church. But I didn't have any peace and I didn't have any joy, you know? And it says, but our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery, perdition is what it calls it, and are utterly destroyed. But we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And by faith, we preserve our own souls. By faith, we preserve, we save our souls by believing. He gives us the choice. He can't make you believe. You make that choice. And we've all heard that prayer. There's a prayer in the Bible where one man said, Jesus, help my unbelief. It's okay to say, I'm not quite there yet, but at least you're talking to God. So that means you're running. You're at least going in that direction. You're not pulling away. Amen? Amen. So there's different degrees, and I don't want to make you feel like, well, maybe I'm not, but it's only the Holy Spirit that can show you where, what area in your life are you not seeking God about? Because you're like, nah, I can take care of this one by myself, but you're not experiencing God's best in that relationship. You're not experiencing God's best at that job. You're not experiencing God's best concerning whatever it is. We have some papers, and I want them to pass them out, because I want y'all to be thinking about what it is that you need to give to God. And it's just simple. It really is simple, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a, maybe it's your health, maybe you're holding some offense towards God because things didn't turn out the way they were supposed to. And believe it or not, that's us pulling away from God. You know, that is. So we don't want to hear God concerning that anymore, because we've already made our decision. Okay? God has a plan, and his plan is perfect, and his plan is good. And it's for us to experience his very best. But a lot of times we have to let go of some things in order to hear what is the next step. And then we get mad because we're like, well, I don't hear God. Have you checked your heart? You know, some of y'all know Pastor Justin's story. Years ago, 17, 18 years ago, he went through a really hardship, and the Holy Spirit told him, if you keep your heart right, you will be restored. Restoration is God's plan in every area of your life. Restoration, that means wholeness. That means it's not broken anymore. It means God put his hands on it and it is now whole. You're healed. But he had to keep his heart right. What did that mean? That means doing what God would say. Loving. What would love do? Love forgives. Love forgives. Every single time. Whether they ask for it, whether they deserve it. You know? Yes, you probably have every right to be angry, but it doesn't mean you should be. It doesn't mean you should be. Well, I'm going to get back at them. Well, what does the Bible say about that? We're not to return evil for evil, right? Yeah. So I promise, there is a word for whatever it is that you are kind of holding back. I've toiled all night and I've caught nothing. Really? Okay, how about let's do it my way now. Let's throw the net on the other side. Okay. Oh my goodness, it's just that one step of saying, okay, God, I'm going to do this your way. Even if you start slowly, I forgive them. God bless them. Don't allow 1,000 fleas to infest their armpit. Don't allow 1,000 fleas. I mean, you could say that because, you know, before you were praying, infest their armpits. Just, that's it. Just make them itchy all over. I don't know. You know, I could pray boils. I'm not praying boils, just fleas. So start small. You can start small. God, help me. Bless them. You can just start with just bless them. God, bless them. Let them know you. Let them see you. Amen. You know, and then your heart starts softening and your heart starts softening. And guess what? Where did that loot bag go? You start getting those things back. You see your joy returns. Your peace returns. You know, if Dr. Savelle has that book out, don't let the devil steal your joy, because if he does, then he can keep everything. And we're not going to let him. Amen? Amen. And we're not going to let somebody else have their joy stolen either. We're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're going to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We're not going to have a hardened heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray over y'all, and I want y'all to just, as we look at these papers, I wrote some things down. I've been listening to a message. Where is it? By Dr. Savelle. Psalms 27. And he's 27:14. In the message, it says, stay with God. Take heart. And then it says, and I'll say it again, stay with God. But if you read it in the King James, it uses the word wait. Another way of saying stir yourself is waiting on the Lord. And now when we think of wait, we think that it's unproductive. Wait. You know how your parents make you wait? You're like, oh my gosh, okay. Wait, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And there's all kinds of memes where there's a girl that there's a skeleton and she's still doing her fingers. I like sending those to somebody that hasn't returned my text message. It's like, okay, when are you going to text me back? But this waiting means you're intertwined with God. Wait on the Lord is something that is an action. It's like I'm seeking God. I'm like on the edge of my seat. I'm intertwined with him. I know what he's doing. I'm sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Another way you can stir yourself up is praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praying in the Holy Ghost. In verse 5 of Psalms 27, it says that he will lift your head, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. So I love that when we turn to God, when we stay with him, when we wait on him, our hope is in him, that our expectation, I want you to know that he honors what you expect. Because you know what that is? That's called faith. That's called faith. When you have an expectation, he will honor what you're expecting. When you know, God takes care of the rest. The rest that they're talking about in Hebrews, where he takes care of that peace where you're not, you know, where nothing around you can move you. But he also takes care of the rest of what you're believing for. Matthew 9:29. That's Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. How about I'm expecting to live God's best. I am expecting to live God's best. And it says that this will be the year of our highest expectation to be fulfilled. Stir up that faith. Stir up what you're believing for. And I believe that this year, what you're expecting, God is going to do. You know, I don't know what translation it is, but in Matthew 9:29, it says, in this translation, it says, what you believe, what you know, what you expect in the innermost part of your being, so shall it be done. In your body, in your finances, in your relationship, in your marriage. So God honors what you're expecting. Amen. I'm expecting that as I give these things to him, he's going to take care of them. I know that I know. I know that I know that I know that when I give it to him, he's going to take care of the rest. He's going to take care of my rest. He's faithful. He is faithful. His promises. I mean, he's the one that does his word. He's not a liar. Amen. He's not a liar. Oh, I'm going to pray over us. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you warn us because you don't want anyone to perish. You are so patient with us. And before your son returns, there's some people that need to come into the kingdom. So, Lord, I stir myself up, Lord, to where there's less of me and more of you. Where I'm responding by the Holy Spirit and not in my flesh. Because as much as you want to change my heart, there's someone else's heart that needs to be stirred up, that needs to be changed as well. So, Father, help me to turn my eyes outward. Help me to focus on your word and being obedient to your word quickly, quickly. There's a life at stake, you guys. There's a heart at stake. So, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would bring back to our remembrance, show us where maybe we haven't given it all to you. Maybe we've held on to some of it because we feel like, well, I can't quite forgive all of that. Or maybe it's an offense. Why did it turn out this way? God, why did you do it this way? Oh, Jesus, help us to be thankful. Help us to be thankful and know, not anxious like it says in the word. Be anxious for nothing, but not stay in our anxiousness and our fear, but running to you because it says, make our petitions known to you. So I pray conversations will start tonight. Even as we drive home, conversations will start tonight and we will say, God, I need your help in this area. I need your help. I need your help. And I believe as we start to talk to him, as we start to run to him and wait on him, he will take care of it. He promises to. He'll give us direction. Nothing is impossible with him. We trust you, Lord. Can you say that? I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I rest in you. I rest in you and your word and your promises, and I focus on them. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of a story that happened to David in 1 Samuel 30. I mean, talk about a bad day. They had gone off and they come back and the enemy has come and stolen their children, their wives, their livestock, stolen everything. It says that they wept so much, they had no tears left. I mean, that's a pretty bad day when somebody's come and stolen your entire family and everything. And then they set fire to their place. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, all his army, his friends, wanted to stone him because they thought it was his fault. They're like, let's kill him. But it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He stirred himself up. That's what he did. He remembered. It's in there. There's belief in there. There's the God. God's in there somewhere. He stirred himself up so that he could continually hear what the next thing was to do. Amen?
Amen.
When we're in trouble, that's when we need to run to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Yep, that's it. He was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Amen. Amen. You know, in a time that we're living, it's interesting that in these last days when there is less love, he's called us to love. When it gets harder to love, he's calling us to love. When it's less likely that we want to love, it's not natural for us to love. He wants us to stir each other up and love. It never fails. Love never fails. We stop the devil in his tracks when we love. Amen? Amen. Oh, did y'all receive something from that? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for you all. Thank you for coming tonight. And I would say continue to pray and lift up Miss Carolyn. Hopefully she'll come this Sunday to church. But I know she senses all our prayers, and she's so thankful. She's so thankful for all our prayers and cards and stuff. And I appreciate y'all too. Amen. All right. Give him Jesus. Hallelujah.